This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, October 3, 2021. The 18th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
This, at last, is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh.
May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
When we read the Genesis story of the creation in Eve, out of the side of Adam, you can look at that as a child's Sunday school story. We are children of God, so such stories, so be it. They are a child's story. What are we to do when we teach children? We are to teach them what is right and what is wrong. We teach them with certitude. We never want them to think something is right one day, it is not right the next. We don't want to be ambiguous with them because that causes all kind of problems. I frequently point out that I don't get a kick out of pointing to this, what this person says and that person says, unless there's a pointed reason to do it. And today there's a pointed reason. Because when we read the Genesis story, we have nothing less than the certitude of God presenting to us what is the foundational fabric of human society. The foundational truths of what a family is in his eyes, in his establishment. If this was some priest who was off the rails somewhere, or if it was even a bishop somewhere just basically doing what a lot of bishops do now and just making people feel all warm and fuzzy about themselves, it would be problematic, to say the least. The individual who made the statement was apparently handpicked to be the head of the John Paul II Institute of the Studies of Marriage and Family. Basically, what the Catholic Church teaches and believes about family. Monsignor Philippe Bourdain, by name. He made a statement this week. Theologians cannot continue to assert certainties about the family when we see the transformations it is undergoing today. That is a horrendously dangerous statement. It pulls the rug out from under God's truth. It pulls the rug out from under what he established. This is what's going on with this guy. He also made another statement about human relations. Human relations, which is ultimately not very determined, allows for atypical forms and expressions. No, it doesn't, Monsignor. No, it does not. They are very ultimately determined by God Almighty himself. And for you to stand in your position and make such statements is horrendous. The introit today from Sirach, one of the petitions, let the prophets be found faithful. What is a prophet? A prophet is someone who speaks to the people what God says. To be faithful, you have to speak what God says and not what you think, not what has influenced you from society. Theologians do not assert certainties about such things as the family. God does. God asserts these certainties, and that's what they are. They are certain. This is what Revelation is about. What's really sick about this is, and this is kind of commonplace among a lot of folks, both it's a statement both collective about the church and individually. Well, we have humility now to make such statements because we were so arrogant in the past to say definitively what a family is. That's the job of the prophet. It's not humility to say what God says. It is, a matter of fact, the absolute antithesis of humility to think that you can so arrogantly say that you know better than God. And that's what's going on here. Bottom line, when we have this story, and the story of Genesis, the first five chapters, they're a poem. But you mean that's not true? It's not God's word? No, it is. It's just a poem, though. So you got to take it like that in the genre in which it was written. Yeah, it's like the Psalms. What are the Psalms? They're songs that were sung. Doesn't make them any less God's word, any less objective truth, but they're Psalms. When we look at this story of how God formed Eve out of Adam, we've got to look at the foundational premise. God says that there's something that's amiss. He's made creation. It's very good, but it's not exactly what it needs to be. For the man, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on the man. This is not holy anesthesia, so he could perform a surgical procedure. The Hebrew word that's used there is actually that Adam was enraptured. He was taken outside of himself when this is going on. And it's really telling when we see this, because we have this picture of God in a very mysterious way, but a nonetheless highly significant way, actively working divinely in ultimately making things exactly the way they need to be. This is why Adam, after he comes out of this rapture, he immediately starts prophesying under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is at last bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through Adam. He's in wonderment because everything now, after Eve's creation, is what God wanted it to be. Again, there was something missing with Adam. After Eve is made, the creation of human beings is complete. The fulfillment of God's intentions are presented to us. You now have male and female, complementary. This is the foundation of what we have in society. It is the microcosm of the church itself. This is a certitude because this is the way God has presented it to us. Poem or not, this is his truth. Because it's a lot easier to... God doesn't explain his details to us. The Bible is not a science book. We have a poetic picture of what he did, but what he did nonetheless and how he established things. And basically what you're looking at is, what is a family? According to God, a man and a woman in an indissoluble relationship, because it is so mysterious and so holy that it cannot be separated by man for the bearing of children. That's a whole helper thing. For the man, there was not found a helper fit for him. What did Adam need help with? This was before the fall. It's not like he's digging in the ground, tilling the ground or anything. He didn't have to. What help did he need? The only help that he needed was, because a lot of people think that this is after the fall. Genesis 1, when God creates it, he says, be fruitful and multiply. Take dominion over this place. Newsflash. Most of us get this one. Adam can't do this by himself. Contrary to some of the folks that like to question biology anymore, guess what? Men can't have babies. Yeah, that's a thing. All right. Men can't have babies. Adam needs a helper to be fruitful and multiply. Eve. This is the help. There is no other reason. I mean, it's like, hey, you got a wife now. You can make them clothes. They were naked and not ashamed. We even know that. That's how much of a detail we get on that. So the only help he needs is to have kids. So this is what marriage is about. It's what it is foundationally, of what it consists, and what it's for. God's certainties, his presentation. This is why to try to pull a rug out from under. There are so many consequences that arise from such a gross statement as to, we can't be certain of what the family is. Yeah, we can. Yeah, and if you look up this guy's credentials, it's like, he's got like 30 degrees and all this kind of stuff. And if he would hear this, he'd go, well, he doesn't know. He's not one of the unwashed masses. Hey, I just believe what God says. That's kind of, that's how God works. He understands simple people like me. And he says things. And to pull the rug out from under what God says, again, the consequences are grievous, to say the least. Theologians can't do it. What is a theologian? A theologian is somebody who studies the nature of God and religious belief. Theologians are supposed to present to you what God says in Revelation, try to explain it as much as we can explain the infinite, being finite as we are. That's theology. It's being a prophet. Being a faithful prophet. Saying what God says. This guy's a sociologist. Okay? He's a sociologist with a collar on. Because what is sociology? It's a study of the development and structure and functioning of human society. Are we part of human society? Yes. But God has established that society. And it is not us, up to us to arbitrarily say that humans decide what it is. The Second Vatican Council. We're not talking ancient history. I think I was like 4 or 5 years old when that one came up. It says the sacred bond of marriage does not depend on human decision alone. For God himself is the author of marriage and has endowed it with various benefits and with various ends in view. What's the end of marriage? If there's no ends in view that God has established, then you can come up with all these different models of a family. But if the ends of, like I said, the whole helper thing, what is the end of marriage? To be fruitful and multiply. And not everybody has kids. Yeah, but most people do when they get married. Yeah, why would God have people get married and not bless them with children? For one, he might want them to be devoted to one another completely and intensely for their whole lives. That could be a reason. And hey, newsflash, you have kids, 18, 20 years, they're gone. They kind of move on, do their own thing. And then who's left? Mom, dad. So that foundational form of the family, this is a reality. And not to mention, they don't have kids. Maybe our Lord wants them to open their hearts in love to adopt children into their family that don't have a family, that is not structured the way our Lord demands, desires, designed. This is the reality. It's not up to us to determine what it is, thus says the Second Vatican Council. Not to mention the gospel today. I harp before on Adam's words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In the gospel, our Lord uses the exact same words. The exact same words. A man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one, come one flesh. You got Adam under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You have our Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty himself, who at that time is elevating this foundational family structure to the level of a sacrament. This is sacramental. This is just not objectively the way things are. This is a sacrament. This communicates the graces that I desire of you. But it doesn't even stop there. Ephesians chapter 5, St. Paul. He uses the same words as Adam and our Lord Jesus Christ. As the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But this is what I mean about consequences of when you start pulling the rug out from under the mysteries of things. This is a great mystery, but it points to an even greater mystery, and that is the relationship between Jesus Christ and his church. So if you pull the rug out from under what a family is supposed to be, you actually pull the rug out from under the relationship between Jesus Christ and his church. I mean, you even see parallels of what Adam and our Lord said as to how our Lord, what he did in our redemption. Did our Lord not leave his father to seek his bride, the Catholic Church? Did he not sleep on the cross, and from his side came forth blood and water, which is the manifestation of the birth of the church? We have this exact parallel between the two. So what happens when you say, I can't be certain about this original plan for the family? If you can't be certain from that, then guess what? You're not certain about the relationship with Jesus Christ and his church. All bets are off. If we deny these certainties, and that's what they are, God's revealed certainties. If we deny these certainties, is to deny the divine itself. It is to deny the surety of God's revelation about how he has designed and placed things in order. It makes us the arbiter of what's right and what's wrong. What parent worth their salt lets their kids determine what's right and what's wrong? It's a ridiculous premise, but we have authorities in the church doing exactly that. We are not the arbiters of what's right and what's wrong. The collect that started the Mass today, the prayer that we say, one of the petitions was, grant thy people grace to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We learn about these enemies at our baptism. And this statement that this Monsignor made falls into the temptations of all three. It falls into the temptation of doing what the world says. He says that. There are so many transformations. He's falling into the temptation of letting the world dictate what is the family. He is falling into the temptation of what the flesh means. Oh, they love one another, and love is love. A gross definition of love. This is a temptation into which he's fallen. And this is the worst, and this is the most prominent. He has fallen into the temptation of Satan himself. Satan himself. What started the nonsense in the garden? Satan looking at Eve and going, did God really say? He's doing the exact same thing. Did God really say that this is what the family is? Yes, he did. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost